So now let us turn to Psalm chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So today we engage the path of life that Jesus leads us on. That after death we have resurrection. And that there is fullness of joy with Christ forever. Now I will read Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So right now, we are struggling with the constant noise of death and despair. And today, even just for the half hour that we're together, set your mind on the things of Christ, on something eternal, that the death and the fear that we're experiencing right now is temporary, but the life and the joy that Christ has for you is eternal. So right now we are setting our minds on these things as we celebrate our risen Savior.
Amen. So today's reading will be a story of the resurrection in Matthew chapter 28, 1 through 11. So as you're turning to Matthew chapter 28 to remember and to rehear about the resurrection of Christ, I just want to set my mind and all of your minds and just say this. I don't care what's going on anywhere else right now. I just don't care, and I don't want you to care anymore either. Let it go for a second and listen to this. This is all I care about right now because this is all I know for sure. The Word of God, Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow, and for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. So Easter, we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ, and I wanted to focus on one phrase from this passage. Verse 8. You could probably read it yourself and figure out what it is. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Fear and great joy is exactly where we will end up in the conversation with the risen Savior. That after Jesus is resurrected, there's still fear in the world. But great joy is greater than the fear. We're still going to have fear, but we now are in between something, not just fear and that's it, figure it out, but fear and great joy. That's what we're looking at today, because that's what's announced. That's what we're clinging to. That's what's changed. And so I just wanted to remind you and show you how it works. You know, we don't have many stories in our lives in the last couple weeks, but I have one that God graciously gave to me a couple weeks ago. Jeremy and Tara. Jeremy, can I tell this story? That's great.
Perfect.
He said he doesn't know what the story is, so I'm going to go ahead with it. They came in to have the Lord's Supper during this time, and little Zenon, who is 4 years old, has seen my motorcycle many times now. And he started asking a couple weeks ago, is it loud? Is it really loud? And I'm like, it's not that loud. Is it loud? He just was concerned about it being loud. But I knew what that question was. He was a little bit scared because he wanted desperately to ride it, because he's one of the few normal boys I know. Of course, you should love motorcycles, but that's a different story for a different time. This boy does. He's 4 years old. He asks his mother, and she says, I know you probably can't do this, but could he ride in the back of the motorcycle? You can say no if you want. And I said, oh, actually, I have an extra helmet, and I've been waiting for years and years for someone to ask this question. So yes. And she was like, oh, not prepared for that.
Yeah, it was so great.
And
so
like, I wasn't prepared for that answer.
She looks and she's like, are you sure it's all right? I'm like, I'm certain it's safe. I'm a man of faith and life. So long story longer, we helmeted him up. We got on the motorcycle. He's like, is it loud? He's so scared. And then I said, just hang on here. Don't worry. I have a back seat. I have all sorts. It's very safe.
It's very safe.
It's safe enough to go 5 miles an hour in a parking lot. So then he clings onto me, and I still have the little fingernail indentations right here on my flank. He's just holding on, and we're going 5 miles an hour just in the parking lot. And he's like, oh. Then he's like, faster. So I went like 7. He's like, faster. And we went about 10 miles an hour max. And he's like, one more time, one more time, one more time. We did it a couple more times. Don't worry, Mom got pictures. But then here's the point of the story. I just wanted to tell somebody a story.
It's so great.
The point is, afterward, he comes in here with Matt and I. Yeah. We're in the church.
I just got to demonstrate what he's doing.
And this is what Zenon did for the next 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Until he left.
Nonstop. He was just...
He was doing that, and he was doing this, like, punch down thing, like, are we going to ride the motorcycle again? Are we going to ride the motorcycle again? That is Mr. Adam. I know. Yes. Well, every four-year-old has a Mickey Mouse voice.
That's his impression for all children.
The point of the story, it was pure joy.
Yes.
He had pure joy. He was beside himself. And then the next time I saw him on a Zoom call, he's like, are we going to ride the motorcycle again? I love it. Because you go from fear to great joy.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more fearful than a motorcycle. But God overwhelms the fear and gives us joy. There's fear all around us. Mm-hmm. There's tons of reasons to fear. But with the God who resurrects from the dead, he leads us into joy. And we see this with the conversation with the two Marys.
Yeah.
So here, to reset the scene, the two Marys go back to the tomb. There's an earthquake, which is scary. It's early in the morning. There's an angel sitting on top of the rock, as if basically on top of death itself, saying, the tomb isn't a big thing.
Looking like lightning, the personification of lightning.
Just pure white. And then you got like Roman soldiers who are just either passed out or look like dead men because they're like, what is happening?
Uh-huh.
Then enters the two women.
Yeah.
So the two Marys here are, and what the angel is going to say to them, I just want to say he announces something to the two Marys. But the two Marys are first Mary Magdalene. If you can remember, she was one who Jesus cast out 7 demons from her. The other Mary is the mom to the sons of Zebedee, James and John.
Yep.
And she is actually recorded as being one of the moms who, and many of you can relate to this, she was part of the group of women following Jesus around that were like making sure he had meals. They had been marginalized, or for whatever reason, they're like following Jesus throughout his ministry. But she was the mom of moms. She was like the president of the PTA of school Jesus. Because there's a scene where she says, hey, Jesus? He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, what? And she says, can my two boys, one be on your right hand and one be on your left hand when you are king? And Jesus, you know, is so kind. He's like, I don't think you know what you're asking for. Because at this point, they think it's all going to be like he's going to become
political
king.
Political reign, yeah.
And so she's a great mom who's given up everything to follow Jesus. And for her boys, really. Yes. It's for her boys.
And she already knows they're like on the inner circle, so.
Yeah, so make them right hand, left hand. Yeah. And Jesus is like,
can
I don't think you
understand. Peter out?
I don't think you understand. Yeah, we don't like Peter.
Peter's a joker.
Classic. It's like any drama department at any high school. It's classic. There's maneuvering. That's the other Mary.
Yes.
So when Jesus died, Mary Magdalene has nothing. Mm-hmm. She was already outcast as a person demonically possessed. Mm-hmm. Then brought in, now she has nothing. The mom who poured everything into her boys and in the hope of Jesus now has nothing. She's failed as a mother because now what are her boys going to do? Yeah. They're fugitives. These are the two women that show up completely hopeless. All is lost. They have no future. They're scared.
But the only thing they know how to do is to make funeral arrangements.
So we're going to do what we've always mm-hmm. done, which is take care of the needs of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So they go, that's why they're there in the morning. Everybody else is
hiding
in their house. They go, and what the angel of the Lord and what Jesus says to them is, first of all, he says three things. He gives them an announcement.
Yeah.
He is risen. They're like, what? He is risen. And then Jesus says, greetings.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Greetings. And they fall at his feet, and they're like, what? So at the announcement of he is risen, he is risen means you get it all back. Everything you've lost.
Yes.
All the life, where you put your hope, you will get back in Jesus. If you have put your hope in something else, it's gone. It doesn't rise. You put your hope in Jesus, it's all given back. It wasn't wasted. So that's the first announcement. And all is not lost, actually.
Yeah.
And I think it's appropriate. The fear turns to great joy. So they're like, okay, this is great news. They worship him. Jesus says, no, it's time to go tell your brothers. So there's an announcement. He's risen, but now I'm giving you something to do because as soon as you work through it,
right,
you're like, so what do we do?
What do we do with this knowledge?
And that's where the angel and Jesus give the mission, which mm-hmm. is, I want you to do something that we're having a hard time figuring out how to do right now, which is
tell people about it.
Go tell people. Go tell my brothers, is what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus calls the disciples his brothers, and he calls you and me his brothers and sisters, and he says, go tell your brothers and sisters about it. Go tell my family that he's risen. You have a mission now. You have something to do, which is what we need to know what our purpose is.
Yeah. Just share good news.
Do you have any thoughts? I've been talking a lot.
Yeah,
because okay. I'm used to talking
you're
a lot
excited.
About Easter. And it's hard to share it with you today, but I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm here too.
Anything I've said so far that has either you thought was good? I could use the immediate feedback right now since I only have pictures of people on the wall.
So right now, the idea of having something good to talk about hits me. Because all we hear is bad things or... possible bad things. And so just to have something good to share with people, which is despite all the craziness that's going on around us, we have an eternal hope, an eternal salvation, that we have something to look forward to after this.
Yeah.
That Christ has beaten death. He's beaten it, and we can share that with one another.
I just like that it's true.
And it's
good
true.
News.
Yes.
One of my issues during this time is with consistency. I'm already upset when people don't have a consistent philosophy, because I think that I do, and when I am inconsistent, I feel bad about it. But I've had to work through all the inconsistencies in thought and information and truth, and it's driven me back to go, oh, Jesus Christ is consistent. He's mm-hmm. been saying, I'm going to die. You're not going to get it, but then you'll get it. I'm going to rise again. He's been saying that he is who he says he is. So this is good news, and it's true.
Yes.
It's going to be true tomorrow.
Which even the angel has to say.
Right.
He's risen, just like he said he would.
oh yeah, I had a hard time listening all the time and deciphering what's true. Right, he said he was going to die and raise again, and yet...
He's been telling you this from the beginning. I just love that the angel has to say that. Yeah. He's like, Jesus is who he says he is.
And I love that he says, go tell your brothers. Again, it's Jesus upsets all of our cultural ideas, and so the women now become the first evangelists. They're mm-hmm. telling the disciples, because where are the disciples? They're scared to death.
Yeah.
And for good reasons.
Yeah.
So they go back, and this is going to be the mission now. Go tell them I'm going to meet them in Galilee. And this is where I've had to personally, I've been working some things out with fear and great okay. joy. I've been scared throughout this all. I know we all have our own fears. For me, it's been the world is telling us not to gather. Part of the mission of God has been to gather. So like even in the book of Exodus, he says, I want to call you out of Egypt to gather you to worship in the desert. Well, that's not just illegal. That is crazy. Mm-hmm. But this is what God has been doing. He says, go and gather. So for me, I've been dealing with the anger cycle of everything and saying, God, are we ever going to gather again? Is everyone going to be so afraid to ever gather again? And I was starting to, I'm literally getting scared about that until I read the resurrection. I wake up this morning and I remember that Jesus raises from the dead. Jesus finds a way to get us back together and gather. Jesus will bring us together one way or another. He has for 2,000 years and even before that in the Old Testament, and he will again. So I was able to put down my fears and move into great joy that it's not up to me, it's not up to Mary and Martha or Mary and Mary to fix these things. Mm-hmm. We give our fear to him, and he gives us the resurrection of all things. He says, I will gather my people face to face. I will gather you, and I'll use whatever I have to use, to the point where now I'm rejoicing, because you know what? We're still gathered right now. My fear is where we can't gather. But you're watching. You'll watch it or not watch it. I know we're gathered. And I know I'm with all the angels, and I'm with all the cherubim, seraphim. I'm with all the saints who have gone before us. We're gathered right now around God's word. Nothing can separate us from that. Amen.
Amen.
So I bring my fears. You bring your fears to him and allow him to turn it into great joy. And this joy is creating a happy energy to live. And a happy energy to love one another, to trust Christ. But then there's one more thing they say at the end.
Yes.
There's that. So we have an announcement. He's risen. We have the mission. Go tell your brothers. But then he says, tell them that they will see him. You will see Jesus again. You will see him. You will see the resurrected Christ face to face. That's a promise. Now, for the people who knew Jesus back then, that's a crazy promise. Mm-hmm. How he died. For those of us, years later, how? It's been years. He's dead. But you will see him. He's your Savior. And when you see him, he will say, greetings. Don't be afraid. It's me. I love that's the first thing Jesus says when he sees all of us. It's the first thing that's why I wanted to say it today, is that when Jesus raises from the dead, the fear still exists, but he says, don't be afraid. I'm here now. But all we are is afraid, Lord. I know. Come to me. I can handle it. I greet you with salvation, with faith, and with life. And that's a promise. And it's a promise you will see him.
Yeah, and we can rest secure in that promise. And we are now empowered in the face of great fear to love one another. So even as we are fearfully distancing ourselves and trying to figure this all out, Jesus still empowers us with a promise that you will see me again. There's life after death. And so now, even though there's fear and death all around you, you have the power to love those around you.
And exactly. And that's what we have, all those Easter baskets, that we're still praying for one another. We're still loving one another. I still went out and bought something for, I guess it's not, he's not like my secret Santa or something. I've been praying for Jake. I know you're watching. I got your basket, buddy. During the darkest time of our history, I got your basket. That's the power of resurrection. Because otherwise, you're the first thing to go, bud. Don't laugh too hard. This is where we're at. I do want to say, things change, but here's what doesn't change. Christ raises from the dead. Mm-hmm. He re-identifies you. You will rise from the dead by faith. Faith in Christ. That's your identity. You're a person of faith. What doesn't change is the mission and your purpose in life is to love one another. That's your purpose. Just love the people in your house right now. Pray for the people you know. Because your security, it's not in the work. It's not in the things. Your security is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. who did it perfect,
yep.
who faced our worst nightmare. All of your security is there. It takes a lot of faith. But His Holy Spirit is working that faith in you right now. And as some of our faith in things crumbles, let it be rebuilt completely on the security and on the firm rock of Christ's resurrection, Christ's perfect life, Christ's death, Christ's victory. He sits on top of the tomb, whatever your worst fear is. He sits on top of it. He says, I secure you.
Yeah.
Now, love, I'll provide for you. This is what we're celebrating. So I don't care what else is going on. Find a way to celebrate it. Because Jesus Christ lives. You and I will live forever, ever and ever. This is just the beginning. Praise God. May the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Well, feels like I want to sing.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're prepared to sing. What we want to do is
let's do the Apostles' Creed with one another. Again, you can find it on our Instagram stories and Facebook stories. And again, we are going to confess our identity, who we are, and what our mission is, and our security, which is, I believe in the resurrection and eternal life, life everlasting.
Forgiveness of sins, yes. The whole thing is great. This is what we confess as Christians for the last 2,000 years, the Apostles' Creed. What is it you believe, Christian?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Well, during this time, we like to give some kind of prayer requests and pray for specific people. If you have a little nice music, Anthony, you just strum along back there. That's just nice. But I was just thinking today and for the next several weeks, something that has been very helpful is to just go through every day, maybe once, twice, three times. Thank God for what you can. So sitting around the table while you're eating, take a break and just go, what are you thankful for? And it forces you to look around and go, okay, I'm thankful we still have a roof. We still have my family. I still have some food. But then it goes on. As you start going, you start to realize, oh, I still have the opportunity for peace.
Mm-hmm.
I still have faith. I still have forgiveness of sins. And as you go through forgiveness, or not forgiveness, you go through thanksgiving,
yeah.
It just reminds you that God is the God who has promised, we're his creatures. You know, if you take care of your dog or your cat at home, you're just a good pet owner. God is our creator. He's going to take care of us. It's what he loves to do. It allows you to let him worry about all that and you to be the sweet creature that was made to love him and love each other. So give thanks. Pray, give all your worries to him, and that's kind of what I'm hoping to do today.
Yeah.
And during this time of prayer, so we'll pray for the church, and pray for that spirit of thanksgiving as we celebrate the resurrection. Father, we thank you that you have risen from the dead. Through every home that this is being watched right now, in every place, I pray, Holy Spirit, that your spirit of thanksgiving, that part of the Lord's Prayer, we say, hallowed be your name. That your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the source of love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness, faithfulness and patience and self-control. All that comes from your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the hope that you give us, even in a world full of fear and death. We thank you for the family, for the church family that you've given us, for our actual families. We thank you for how you've provided, and we thank you that you promise to always provide for us. Lord, I thank you for New City Church. I desperately miss seeing everybody, but I'm so thankful that you see us. You connect us by your Holy Spirit, and you will bring us back together someday. We trust you. I thank you. I thank you for the love and the prayers. I thank you that you hear our prayers. And together we pray for one another. We pray that you would give children where children are one. We know we ask for fertility for some of our folks. We ask for provision for many of our folks in this time. We ask for your peace for everyone. I ask that you would restore the joy of our salvation that's rooted in the resurrection of Christ and the reality that we will rise again. We will rise again. You will rise again. Thank you. We pray all this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we all pray together the Lord's Prayer. Then we'll just sing and have a great old time.
Let's do it.
Lead us in the Lord's Prayer, Matt.
Let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, I'm so glad that we still found a way to celebrate Easter together. That nothing can stop this movement that began with Jesus Christ. That we will continue to gather around his death and resurrection with fear and joy.
Don't be afraid. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That's good. Don't be afraid. He is risen. Don't be afraid. He is risen. Say it all day. Say it loud. Say it proud. It's true. And, so receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you and smile and give you peace now and forever. Amen.
Amen.